Hello, I'm Michelle Hanratty. Thank you for listening to Sound Optometry. Just a reminder that you will no longer receive a CPD point by listening to this episode of the podcast. But if you subscribe and listen to the most recent episodes of Sound Optometry, you can gain CPD points. I hope you enjoy this episode of Sound Optometry. Hello, welcome to Sound Optometry, the podcast from Docket that provides high-quality continuing professional development for all UK-registered optometrists. You can gain one CPD point by listening to this podcast and completing the exercise on our website, docket.info. I'm Michelle Hanratty. I'm an IP optometrist and an examiner for the College's scheme for registration. With case studies and in-depth conversations each month, we'll explore the topics that matter to us optometrists. Fitting modern contact lenses might be a straightforward task, but the science behind them is constantly evolving and the research is coming out far more frequently than any of us could hope to keep up with. When you're fitting contact lenses, have you ever thought, why do I do it this way? Are your methods evidence-based? Or do you just do it that way because that was how you were taught at university? Today's episode follows a Docket webinar on how to harness the most recent contact lens research and modernise your contact lens practice. We'll explore how the British Contact Lens Association's evidence-based academic reports, or CLEAR, can help to reshape our approach with the association's president, Neil Retallick.
We all want to achieve the best results for our patient and do the best job we can. I also think that it helps us think about how we can reduce dropout and improve contact lens retention.
But before that, let's explore exactly what the BCLA's CLEAR reports are. To do this, I spoke to Professor James Wolfson. He's the head of optometry at Aston University in Birmingham and the executive chair of the CLEAR reports. Having dedicated so much energy to contact lens and anterior eye research over the last 20 years, he was also the ideal chair for the evidence-based practice report.
CLEAR stands for Contact Lens Evidence-Based Academic Reports. And these reports aim to bring together all of the academic literature on a particular topic, because there's a huge amount of it and far too much for people to read all of it themselves. So by having academics bring that together, summarise it, pull out particularly the strongest evidence, so those randomised controlled trials, for example, where we can really see, does this management, if you take away areas of bias, tell us that this management works or it doesn't work? So pulling all of that together and then putting it in these summary papers. So there are 10 summary papers on areas of contact lens practice, from how you use solutions, for example, complications, anatomy and physiology, and evidence-based practice. So how should you be doing your day-to-day practice so it's based on the evidence?
So it sounds as if the reports are going to be really helpful for practitioners who want to constantly strive to be better practitioners, provide the best service to their patients, but don't necessarily have the means all the time to go searching through all the academic research to find the evidence that they're looking for. So the reports will really open the door to that information, won't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We did a little exercise just to work out how long it would take you to read the papers in the report. And so to date, there have been over 20,000 papers that involve contact lenses. And we worked out it would take about 6.5 years to read the ones in the report, and every year an extra probably 18 to 20 weeks to keep up to date. So it's just impossible for an individual person in practice to do that, or even an academic working across the area. It does need that consensus view. And it also highlights those areas that we've got that knowledge and we should be optimising our practice to make sure we offer the best service to our patients.
So what do you think are the main findings of the report, and why do you think those findings are useful?
So I think the main findings are looking at things like terminology. So some of the terminology that we use is really quite strange. For example, rigid corneal lens, RGP, we often use. In America, they often use GP, so gas permeable. Well, gas permeable refers to all of our lenses. So it's probably not the best terminology. And RGP refers to a scleral as much as it does the sort of traditional corneal lens that we might have in our mind. Other areas we looked, for example, with silicon hydrogels, just the drive towards that, the lack of evidence towards these sort of silicon allergies that people talk about. But actually, these lenses don't necessarily suit everyone. So what does the evidence tell us about who they might suit, who they might not? What are those interactions with solutions, for example, the big advantages of daily disposable lenses? So it draws all of that together. So instead of saying what we might think, we can actually say what we know from that evidence. And we put together, it's still quite a long report, it's over 300 pages, but there is a 5-page summary, which gives the real core messages in terms of how should I change my practice tomorrow.
So thinking about what you've just said, I think it will give practitioners a lot more confidence in their decision-making, won't it? It's not a case, well, I'll try it and see, and I hope it works. It's actually, this is the evidence of what should work, and this is why I'm going to recommend this to my patient.
Yeah, and I find it really useful in practice. You know, we're not going to remember everything all the time. So sometimes patients will ask you something and I'll dig back into the relevant report and you'll go, actually, what do we know about scleral lenses and dry eye, for example? Oh, yeah, no, there are some studies, but maybe not strong evidence at the moment. So it's a really good way for me to reference back and find out what's been done in the area and the strength of evidence without having to do big journal searches and spend hours and hours trying to drill down to do what the experts have done for me already.
Although we might fit contact lenses all the time, it's worth taking stock and understanding if the research can provide us with any tips to improve our service for patients. With me now is Neil Retallick. Neil is an optometrist and president of the British Contact Lens Association. He also hosted Dockett's insightful webinar in March on how to maximise success with contact lenses. Hi, Neil. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Michelle.
So, Neil, in your recent Dockett webinar, you gave some really useful information for clinicians. So what are the most common things we do that have little or no benefit when it comes to contact lens fitting?
Well, that's a really great question to think about how we can implement the learnings. One of the things that surprised me was one of the habits we do gradually building up wear time with a soft contact lens. There's actually no science with the modern materials that we need to use that approach. So in fact, for some individuals, we can allow them to wear them whatever feels comfortable for them.
So that is certainly very different to what we were told, because we were told to start them on an hour, build it up by an hour a day, or maybe 2 hours a day if we were feeling a little bit adventurous. So I think that's something that practitioners will grasp with both hands, because it advances the patient much more quickly into their wear.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, for rigid lenses, you would still build up that wear time. But I think with everyone, what it comes down to is that regular communication and touch points, because handling is a reason for dropout in a quarter of new wearers. So you do want to touch base with them just to make sure that they are happy with the schedules that they've got.
Yes, it's about having that individual approach, isn't it? Because if you think about it, someone may not want to spend half an hour putting their lenses in because they're new, only to wear them for an hour and then feel that their eyes are still a bit sore, then have to struggle again to take them out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some key questions they can ask. Do you see well? Do they look well? And do they feel good? And if the answer is yes, why not continue?
So what are the most striking findings from the CLEAR reports when it comes to fitting and managing the contact lens wearers?
It was packed full of details. So just to pick a few out, I think what it confirmed for me is that if you've got astigmatism of 0.75, you should really be going for a toric, because it made a difference of one line improvement. And actually, the research is suggesting for soft lenses, for a presbyope, for the majority, a multifocal lens would be your first choice. One of the things that I did notice that surprised me in the report was that I was expecting a clear link between contact lens friction and comfort, and there just wasn't that materialised. Hopefully more insights will come in the future as research advances.
So all of the reports are deliberately designed to be very relevant to contact lens practitioners, but what areas do you think will have the most impact on what we do going forward?
I think the areas for impact in the future is how we can maximise performance and comfort. So we know a lot about the eye, the anatomy, and how it might change with contact lenses, but do we really know how to link that to predict success? And I think that's an area of focus for us all. And again, like you mentioned before, how you really tailor that to an individual rather than just having a very generic approach for all.
Yes. Okay, so let's answer some of the questions that optometrists wanted to ask you following the webinar. So starting with presbyopic patients, what are the biggest challenges when it comes to fitting a presbyopic patient?
I think bearing in mind that they want to maintain an active lifestyle, we shouldn't just see them as people getting old and we need to change them to a different type of lens. One of the first things to do is keep that ocular surface happy, because we know that there needs to be that beautiful relationship with the tear film to maximise success and performance. And then thinking about your lens choice relating to what they want to use a lens for. So the optical designs, potentially using the multifocal as first choice. But the biggest tip I can give really is the communications and setting expectations.
What you've said is quite interesting so far, because it's not necessarily what the patient sees on the vision chart. It's actually what they report to you as being the outcome. It's about whether the lens delivers what they expect, which is independence from spectacles, and at a level that they can do their daily functional tasks or, you know, their sports and hobbies, not necessarily what line of vision they actually see on the chart. But it's actually listening to what the patient's telling you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it may be for different activities they do, a different eyewear solution is more beneficial. So, for example, there will be times where they would prefer to wear their glasses. There may be also times where they prefer their contact lenses. And it's just about maybe getting that balance right. And, of course, making the enhancements necessary to where they want.
And I think one of the next questions that we were asked was about predicting a patient's success. And can you predict it based on their prescription? So thinking about myopes, you know, they're the most difficult to impress when it comes to near vision, whereas hypermetropes, if they're a moderate hypermetrope, they tend to be quite happy quite easily. They get better distance vision and better near vision. What are your thoughts on that? Do you ever try and predict the success based on prescription?
Yeah, I think everybody's an individual, so their expectations and motivations are different. I think if you can remind them why they want to wear contact lenses and the benefits they will provide, even if there is a slight tolerance or adaption needed, they will put up with that. But you're right, a myope being used to taking off their glasses is going to have naturally clear vision, but reminding them that with the contact lenses, they won't have the need to do that. And therefore, they may need to just hold things slightly further away just to make it in focus. So it's about working with them as to how they can still get around their daily life, depending on what they're doing.
I think for myopes, telling them that they're going to lose their unaided near vision or the quality of their unaided near vision is quite interesting, because sometimes they assume you can just add to what they've got. They don't realise that sometimes there has to be a compromise.
And one thing really important to remember is the benefit of lighting. Lighting is their friend. So
yes.
If you remind them of that. And a simple thing like, wasn't it lovely that you could read the menu without needing to worry about what glasses you've got on or not got on, or just those simple tasks that just make a difference?
So let's move on to contact lens materials and comfort, which is something that you very briefly touched on before when you talked about tear film. And I really wanted to come back to you with that, because obviously multifocals, tear film is really important, isn't it? So the interaction between materials and the comfort, how do you go about deciding which lenses are suitable for the various individual patients? So, for example, modality, material, and even design?
Yeah, exactly. And I think what you really want is a good fit as well. So you need something that centres well for that individual. I think personally, my choice is I go down that route of looking at what they're going to be doing in their lifestyle. So I'll be thinking about, for most people, a daily disposable probably would be the first choice, unless other factors come in. Also, the wear schedule. Are they likely to do things like napping in the lenses, which might push me towards something with a higher DK over T? But also you want to look at the ocular surface, you know, are they prone to meibomian glands? Do they get allergies or other things that you may feel might attract, you know, on a certain material surface as well? So I think the good thing is there's not just one lens for everyone. It is a way that we've got to think about what is going to be better for that individual and make them aware of the different options as well. And also thinking about what's available in their prescription range too.
I think that's an easy trap for practitioners to fall into, particularly if they're optometrists that don't fit contact lenses very regularly, that they probably do think that actually one lens or one design does fit all, because that's how the marketing tends to work. But it really is about looking at the properties of the material compared to, you know, that particular tear film, isn't it? Where does design come into it?
Yeah, well, of course, you want to make a lens as thin as possible so it's comfortable. You want it to behave underneath the eyelid, because, of course, you would get irritation. So where design comes into is not just thinking about the overall optics to achieve, you know, your minus two, but also the edge design as well. And there's been some studies looking at what might be the most ideal edge design. But also one variable may mean that it's better for one aspect, but not as good for something else. So you could look at something like some of the early research suggested, you know, those more knife edges appear to be a bit more comfortable, but they induce a bit more staining. But in fact, some people might find being a knife edge that it's not as easy to handle, or it's got a lower modulus. So it could be one thing or another. I think what most manufacturers have done is they've worked really hard to look at that overall design to get the best design for that material. And of course, if you're with a silicone hydrogel, they're really thinking about treatments to the surface coating or what they can put in the lens to make it more water friendly.
And with all this information, there is the risk of overthinking it. But what you said, go back to the basics first. Start with a good fit.
Yeah, just do it. Get the lens on eye. And if it doesn't work and you've not got many other options, you try something else. And that, I think, is the biggest tip with the multifocals is people think maybe I need to refine it because it's not as good as they may want, and they go through three or four lenses. But actually what it suggests is follow the fitting guides, pop the lens on eye, set the expectations correctly and the motivation, and let them go and try it in their own environment.
Now, another question that often comes up on webinars about contact lenses, for patients that want to wear extended wear lenses because it's practical for their jobs and for their lifestyle, and for hygiene reasons, they don't want to be removing the lenses on a regular basis. What is the most practical advice that we should be giving patients when it comes to removing their lenses, or, you know, when coming into contact with water, showering, swimming, that kind of thing?
Of course, reminding everyone about the risk is important and ensuring that compliance behaviour, but doing it in a positive way, like I said, linking to their motivation rather than scaremongering. I think the first thing is make sure they're aware when they are coming to handle their lenses that they always wash and dry thoroughly their hands, and reminding them that it's important at times to take the lens out just to clean the lenses, and they will feel more comfortable for that. Of course, you want to minimise any exposure to water, so make sure they're aware. If they are doing activities that involve water, ideally, of course, the eyes need to be closed, or you want them, maybe if they are swimming in them, to wear airtight goggles. But personally, I would be suggesting, you know, taking them out for those activities like swimming, or if they were to use anything, maybe a daily disposable with airtight goggles over them. But I think just reminding them that actually if they do take them out on those odd occasion, the eyes will feel a bit fresher when they put them back in for having a bit of a clean as well. Is there anything else that you would suggest there, Michelle?
Well, I was just going to say, sometimes people have different wearing patterns depending on what they're doing. So, for example, someone might be a great extended lens wearer and they're worried about when they go on holiday. But actually, for that period that they're on holiday and they're going to be doing water sports or swimming, or, you know, in a slightly riskier environment from a water point of view, they could actually just have some daily disposable lenses for that period of time, couldn't they? So you could actually provide more than one pair of lenses or set of lenses or type of lenses for the different activities. You're listening to Sound Optometry with me, Michelle Hanratty. Every month, we'll be exploring the topics that matter the most to us optometrists. Today's episode is all about putting your questions to expert optometrists, but we always want to hear from you. If there's a topic you want us to cover or have a fascinating case you want to share, email us. The address is podcast@docket.info, or you can tweet us at Sound Optometry. I'm still joined by Neil Retallick, an optometrist who also presented a recent Docket webinar on contact lenses. Today, we're picking Neil's brain on how to be successful with contact lenses and also putting your questions to him.
From my point of view, we want to keep people in a lifetime of contact lens wear. So we need to really remember that every time they come in, even if they say they are happy, there is probably an opportunity to improve on what they do, because they're changing, you know, things aren't static in life. We're aging, unfortunately, and their lifestyle and what they do will be changing. So I think the first thing is understand their needs and see if there's any changes. Obviously, have a good look at the eye, look for subtle signs that can affect performance. Is there any redness, for example, that might be showing a bit of ocular stress there? You know, have they reduced their wear time? And look at communication and managing their expectations. And it may be that you then recommend changing to something else for them to try and maximise their performance. But I think a tailored approach is what it goes down to with everyone.
Yeah, you do want to reduce that dropout rate, really, don't you? Because as the longer that patients tend to wear lenses for, the risk of dropout is greater. So it's about maintaining that successful wear over the long term. So how often should optometrists be calling patients back for a review, do you think?
Well, that depends on the individual and what you find and what you agree with them. I think always having the conversation that if anything does change, they can come back at any point. What the report looks at is this based on a risk-benefit analysis? Because interestingly, even with eye exam, the recalls we have almost become integrated from what people have done by habit. So they looked at which have the least likely risk, which is daily disposable soft lenses. And they actually suggested with them, you could maybe leave them up to 2 years if you don't see any other signs. But someone at more risk of change, maybe they're on extended wear, or they're a child with more frequent risk of prescription changes, you might actually see those every 6 months. So again, you really need to think of that individual. And I guess they put the 1 year marker for those reusable wearers or rigid wearers, because they've got some extra steps in their routine by cleaning and maintaining lenses. But again, I would say that you've got to really look at that individual. The other thing to balance it is, when are you going to see them for their eye exams? Because it may be that you end up seeing them once a year, alternating between the eye exam and the contact lens check. And therefore, if any red flags occur, you can move one forward accordingly. But it's that balance, isn't it, between how long do you leave them to not pick up any subtle signs of performance decreasing versus leaving them because the inconvenience of coming into them is something that they don't want to do?
Yeah, it really does mean you have to think about tailoring it to that individual patient, not just going with the automatic, oh, well, we'll see you in a month if it's a new wearer, or we'll see you in 3 months, then 6 months. And then if we're doing really well, we'll extend it to a year. We probably all did that in the past.
Absolutely. Michelle, the other huge opportunity for us, I mean, one thing that's come out of the pandemic is this evolution in the technology that we use and the way we think about things. And there's no reason why we can't every now and then do a remote consultation, ask them some triage questioning, just to check that they are still satisfied and happy, especially newer wearers. And if need be, that might then triage into them coming in slightly earlier for aftercare. So I think we're going to be thinking differently as to how we maximise technology as well.
So with all patients, sometimes we do have to deal with minor eye conditions. And with this in mind, one optometrist did think, how do we manage blepharitis, or for example, when they've got papillae on the eyelid, but they're a daily lens wearer?
Yeah, and it's really important to manage the ocular health as well. I think the first thing to do is identify whether the contact lenses are aggravating it in any way. And of course, usually if it's contact lens related and you take the lens out, then you would expect things to start resolving. And if not, there are some things, if they're very mild, you know, they may be able to continue in lens wear, maybe with a bit of reduced wear time at times. But what you don't want to do is aggravate it and make it become more symptomatic. So again, I think it's about managing expectations. The other thing is important is to think about what management you may give when they're not wearing their lenses versus when they are giving their lenses. So, for example, if they are on some of those drops or creams for some of those conditions, they're not compatible with contact lenses. So, firstly, they need to use them around contact lens wear. And if they are aggravated to some degree, there may need to be a period where they leave their lenses out completely. And it may be that the care then involves wider people, maybe an independent prescriber, or people, you know, within some of the other healthcare settings.
Yes, we've talked in quite generic terms there, but is there anything in the CLEAR reports that practitioners can go to and think, yeah, I want to look at the most recent evidence on how to treat papillae on the eyelid or something like that?
Well, there's a whole report on contact lens complications, and they actually redefined complications, and they looked at it from making them more related to the, if you like, the groups on etiology. Because that helps then, from a clinical point of view, think of what signs and symptoms might appear and how might you manage that individual. But the risk of complications overall is quite low with contact lenses, you know, and they do remain quite safe. But it is about proactive approach, keeping that communication and treating everyone as an individual.
Sometimes we do see these signs on the eye, but sometimes a clinical sign isn't always a complication, is it?
You're absolutely right. And it's really interesting because you can see staining sometimes in individuals, but they may say that comfort is absolutely fine. And you can have other individuals where there's less staining, but they seem to have signs of performance issues. Equally, if you look at ocular redness, that can show subtle signs of stress on the eye, but we just maybe generalize and ignore those because they're so commonplace.
And actually, hyperemia, that's an interesting one, because an eye might not look particularly red when you look at it on a slit lamp, but actually when you look at the two eyes side by side, just by stepping back a bit, one eye might look slightly more red than the other, and that's then a red flag, isn't it?
Yeah, and also comparing to previous findings as well. But one of the things the report said was, when you are grading things, they suggested using an accuracy of 0.5.
Yeah, absolutely. So Neil, what are the benefits of applying all these tips in practice?
Well, really, it's what we all want to achieve, which is a patient-centric approach, isn't it? Getting the best results for our patient and doing the best job we can. What it helped me do was maybe think about why we do certain tests. And really, am I doing that because I've just always done that? Is it backed up by the research? Or is it something that I've had to use a combination of both, but apply it for that individual because of some factors that's relevant for that patient? I also think that it helps us think about how we can reduce dropout and improve contact lens retention. And also what I found interesting was that it'll help us standardize maybe record keeping across different places. So anything that can help standardize things in that regard is really useful too.
Yes. And I think when it comes to being really effective in communicating, I think that's really important to maintain patient loyalty, isn't it? Especially with how patients can now access contact lenses from multiple sources, such as the internet. and so on. So I think maintaining patient loyalty, and you do that by having good communication. And ultimately, if you have good patient loyalty, then you'll have a strong business as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Neil, let's gaze into the future now. So what are you most excited about, having looked through the literature, when it comes to the future of contact lenses?
Well, two reports stood out for me for the future. There's a whole report on medical use of contact lenses. So we've always thought about contact lenses probably just to correct vision. But in fact, there are wider benefits as well. And a classic example is in myopia management. But also, you know, it proves that there can be effective banded lenses and reduce, you know, epithelium signs there. I think probably the most exciting report to gaze into the future is the technology report. And it looks at so many different areas in where they may become useful, from drug delivery, because we know the use of drops actually isn't that effective. Most of the drop ends up down their face or not in them. But for that, we need to get better at how the contact lens can release the drugs more slowly rather than all at once. And there's even technology looking at sensors in them, so they could be gadget based, again, if they can get away with the battery.
Contact lenses with AI built in, that is something that we thought we'd probably never see in our lifetime, but who knows?
Well, it's coming, and in the blink of an eye, you'll be able to maybe change the TV channel or whatever. There has been quite good advances in glaucoma monitoring and diabetes and some of those other areas as well. So it's exciting times.
Okay. Thanks, Neil. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me today.
Before we go, I asked Professor James Wolfson, who is the executive chair of the CLEAR Report, which aspects he would recommend focusing on first.
I think the evidence-based practice report, the very last one, sort of pulls together, I think, the day-to-day management of patients. You know, how do we do a history and symptoms? What are the core things we should be asking about when we're looking at family history of a contact lens wearer, for example? How should we record our soft lens fit? You know, should we just be writing good, or do we need more details? But again, with a pragmatic approach, you know, this is not to try and get you to spend an hour with each patient, trying to sort of rationalise what you do, but in a more effective way. So if you were going to read any report, I think that would be the first one. I'd read the summary very first. The others, I think, feed into that one. So it pulls up some of the key points from the other reports, whereas the other reports perhaps are more for reference. There's a fantastic report on the future of contact lenses. So again, when patients are asking you about what they've seen on the internet, you can say, well, actually, this has advanced this much, or this is still in early development, lenses with augmented reality and these sorts of things. Very exciting for the future, but it pulls together what do we currently know? Where are we up to with these sorts of technologies? What can they deliver? What are still the big barriers to having them as commercial products?
What would your take-home message be for optometrists that are listening, apart from reading the report?
Yeah, I think it is to encourage everyone to act as a clinician. And a clinician is not just doing the things that they've always done. It is someone who is actively engaged in the process of delivering the best eye care. It makes life far more interesting because you're not doing the same today as you did yesterday. And also, to me, it allows you to engage better with patients and to explain why you've moved things forward, why you're not requiring new lens patients to do the wearing time build up, and actually to challenge the field. You know, what can we be doing better? What are patients asking for? What would make it easier for you to allow patients to have that range of refractive correction to suit their environment? You know, you go into your shoe cupboard, you don't have one pair of shoes that you're going to wear to a wedding and out in a muddy walk. You have a whole range of shoes to suit the environment. And I think far too often we think, well, actually, people just need one form of refractive correction and they'll be okay, because that's actually just not the case.
Yes. So long-term successful wear, that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much, James.
My absolute pleasure, Michelle.
If you would like more information about contact lenses in practice, go to our website, docket.info, and search for sound optometry. The additional reading materials for this episode will include summaries of the CLEAR reports. There's also a link to the actual reports themselves in the podcast description. Don't forget that by listening to this podcast and completing the short exercise on the website, you can gain one CPD point covering the GOC domains of communication and clinical practice. Next month, we'll explore an aspect of emergency eye care, sudden loss of vision. Until then, we'd really appreciate it if you help spread the word about the podcast. Tell your colleagues to listen or subscribe to the series so you don't miss an episode. The producer is Jason Hoskin. I'm Michelle Hanratty. Thanks for listening.